You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Just the one tournament coming up this week. The PGA Tour continues with the Houston Open stateside. But of course, a lot of build-up taking place as the Masters, not too far away at all. Just a week away now. Looking forward to that very much indeed. And has Bubba Watson potentially put himself in contention for the first major of the year with his victory at the WGC match play on the weekend? The answers to these and more questions coming up on the podcast today. My name's John Gibby, presenting for the first time on the Golf Podcast, and I'm joined by Dave Tindall, as usual, in the pundit's chair.
Hello, John. Nice to welcome you for your debut.
I know. It's very good. I got the late call up. I was only told yesterday. So
exciting times for you.
It is. You know, I'd hopefully do the job justice.
We'll find that out. Do you want me to rate you at the end?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. You'll be the judge of that. We start off by taking a look at last week's competition, of course, the WGC Dell Match Play. And, of course, in terms of its format, quite different to a lot of the other tournaments that take place on the PGA and European tours, with it being a match play tournament. Bubba Watson, Dave, has come out and won in the end. He's beaten Kevin Kisner in the final. And a player who seems to gradually be moving back into contention for potentially some of the biggest tournaments of the year.
Yeah, definitely. He had a shocker last year and, you know, he had bad health. He's messed around with equipment, lost weight. It was all, you could see, at least there was reasons for it. Sometimes the worst thing for golfers is how come they're just playing poorly. But with him, there was obvious, you know, causes and effects why he fell away. But now this is his second win of the year. And like you said, he'll go to the Masters as one of the big favourites now. I think I was on the radio, in Play Radio on Sunday, and his Masters price was being chopped by the sort of by the hour. I think he's 14s now, but might be a few of you out there with some nice anti-post wages on Bubba, because he was decent odds before his return to form this year, and that's two wins for him, two-time Masters winner. It almost seems too good to be true. Maybe if you've backed Watson, it's like, well, he's won the Masters twice, he's won twice leading into it, surely he'll win again. Maybe it's that simple, but as we know, John, with betting, sometimes when it's too obvious, it doesn't quite work out, does it?
Sometimes in these situations, in golf and other sports as well, you have that sort of recency bias in terms of odds. So he'll win, people think he's in great form, and the odds will shorten up maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think so. And I think because he's won it twice, he's on people's radars as well as the one who might come to the fore. And at the same time, there's players who maybe you think are going to always do well at Augusta who aren't quite in the same form, so as they drift, he comes in. So yeah, like his price now is a little bit off-putting. Maybe
at the current moment in time, he is 14-1 for the Masters, so that makes him what, the sixth favourite for the competition. That's shortened in, obviously, from what his price was before last week. A few of the big names towards the head of the Masters betting suffered disappointing weeks in Austin, Dave.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because that week in Austin, if you get to the final or the semis, because you've got to play the silly third place playoff, means you're playing seven rounds, which is like 2 weeks in one, really. So someone like Justin Thomas, I don't think that was ideal for him, because he's played enough already this year. He's taken his rounds to 31 now this year. That's a lot going into the Masters. I was doing a bit of research on how many rounds a Masters winner had played that year, and 31 is kind of outside the, it's kind of in the red danger, tired zone.
So lights flashing, alarms going off.
So if possibly, say someone like Rory McIlroy, it was no bad thing that maybe they went out early. So it's hard to gauge. And Bubba, yeah, maybe he's gone over the top, maybe after playing seven rounds. It's There is another week, of course, in between this Houston Open, which we will talk about, even though the Masters is dominating our thoughts. But, yeah, it is the case that some players will have gone home from the match play and thought, quite happy to have gone out, to be honest.
Because it used to be even more so like that in the tournament back when, if you lost your first game, you were out.
Yeah, that's why some players used to skip it. I mean, there are players who skipped it. Last week, Ricky Fowler didn't play it last week because I think he just thought it's a different format. That's not particularly good practice for the Masters, which is the ultimate goal, of course.
So, Bubba Watson, the winner of the WGC match play last weekend, and the Masters, we've mentioned he's 14-1 for the first major of the year. Rory McIlroy, the 9-1 favourite. Dustin Johnson, then 10-1. All these at time of recording, of course. Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods also 10-1. 12-1 then for Jordan Spieth. Watson, we've mentioned, 14-1. Rose is also 14-1. Jason Day is 18-1. John Rahm, 20-1. Paul Casey, 20-1. Mickelson, the same price as well. Ricky Fowler, 28-1. Sergio Garcia and 33-1 bar, Dave. So what do you make of the market as it stands?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's almost like one of those sort of Grand National markets where who's going to be favourite on the day.
Trying to speak my language
there. Yeah, let's talk about horses. Then he'll know what. But yeah, I mean, the favourites have flip-flopped there. You've had Dustin Johnson favourite. Spieth, you would have thought, would have been favourite maybe anti-post before Christmas, but he's not really kicked on. Rory was a little bit out of it. Maybe fifth or sixth in the betting, and then he's gone into favourite with his win at Bay Hill. And then Tiger, of course, 10-1 Tiger to win the Masters. I think while everyone would love it to happen, I think anyone betting out there will surely agree that that is a very prohibitive price on someone who hasn't won for 5 years. And to be fair, he's not even won the Masters for 12 years.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was injured for all those 12. He had legitimate chances in a lot of them, and he hasn't won since 2006. So asking a lot for someone to just do that. I know he's just like plays by different rules, not literally.
But, that wouldn't be that.
Yeah, no, but Tiger was 10-1.
Do you think that might be as a result of more casual fans having a sentimental fiver?
I think so. The narrative is Tiger's back, sort of thing, even though he hasn't actually won an event. So therefore, you can probably put him in at short prices, knowing that it's going to be a weight of money, whatever you put him up at, from the kind of once-a-year, twice-a-year golf punter.
Obviously, we'll have a conversation more in-depth on the podcast about this next week, but at those prices, what's currently of interest for you?
Well, Fowler's gone out to 22s. Mickelson at 20s. He hadn't won since 2013 until recently when he won the WGC in Mexico. Three-time winner at the Masters. Second, not so long back, 2015, I think it was. So he, maybe, you're on a, speaking your language again, course and distance winner.
There we go.
Three-time Phil Mickelson. So you look at some of those shorter in the betting. Well, Rahm's not won it. Day's not won it. Rose hasn't won it. Thomas has not won it, Dustin Johnson's not won it, and Rory McIlroy hasn't won it, so the most of those shorter than him haven't won it. So yeah. Phil Mickelson, I won't gloat, but I will say I've got him at 40s,
right.
So yeah. I have gloated, haven't I?
You've tried to do it sort of diplomatically.
Yeah, but even if you've not got anti-post punts, I know people have got anti-post prices on Tiger that are quite fancy, which I'm quite envious of, and Rory and some of the others, but even at that 20-1, I think if someone stopped me on the street and said, give me a bet for the Masters right now.
As I'm sure happens on a regular basis.
Yes, several, just walking up to the studio today.
Yes.
A couple of old ladies stopped me. Said, what's your Masters tips? I'm still working on it, but just initially my eye at the front does go to Mickelson a little bit, because I think he will give I think he'll be up there. Whether he can win it again is another thing, but I do think he's due another big shot at it.
Mickelson is 20-1. For the Masters, of course. Plenty more coming up on the Masters next week on the Golf Podcast. And by then, Dave, I'm sure you would have formulated your views.
Yes.
You know, sitting there over the drafting table, long hours into the night.
That's it, crunching the numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, make sure you tune in next week for that. But this week, we're focusing on the sole event taking place. So that's on the PGA Tour, and it's the Houston Open. Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, co-favourites for this one at 10-1 at time of recording. 11-1, that man again, Phil Mickelson. Henrik Stenson, 12-1, 20-1 then for Daniel Berger, 20-1 for Luke Lister. And bigger prices for the rest. Russell Henley, last year's winner, is in at 25-1. What do you make of the market at this moment in time then, Dave?
Yeah, it's very much a kind of big five against the rest, really, if you see those prices. Five of them between 10s and 12s. The problem you've got is their motivation levels. What are they thinking? Are they... I'm trying to think of some sort of way of comparing it. If you've got, if you're going to a wedding tomorrow...
Yeah.
Do you go out the night before?
Depends who it is.
And get hammered?
Depends who it is.
Depends what sort of wedding it
was. Well, depends who's getting married. You know, if I'm someone's plus one, then I'm not too worried about
it. It's the Masters, so it's your best. It's the best thing ever. It's one of your best weddings you've ever been to.
Then probably
so. Do you sort of ease off a little bit the night before? Yeah.
I've realised I've ruined your metaphor a little bit. But.
Yes, I'm struggling with it there a little bit.
Okay.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Phil Mickelson even admits he's going to play shots here that he wants to play at Augusta, even though they're not suitable for this course.
Mm.
So that's the sort of level that we're thinking about. I think Rose is going to be in sort of tinkering, sharpening mode. Fowler's working on swing changes at the minute anyway, so I think he'll be just trying to tinker. So it's hard to think. You know, are you on triers? Are they really going to be putting it all in, or just are they going to be holding something back? I think the one who you could possibly argue needs to put in a performance is Spieth.
Mm.
And the other thing with him, he has got history of winning before a major. So he's sort of... Some people just think, great, what a confidence boost. Others almost don't want to show their hand. I think Spieth has won before a major. He's finished second here before he won the Masters in 2015. So maybe if you're looking for one who, if you want to play the front of the market, you're looking for one who you think he'll be giving it everything. It is Spieth, probably.
A few people have been mentioning the weakness in Spieth's putting recently. Is that something that would be a concern for you?
It definitely is. You load up the various putting stats on the PGA Tour and you expect to see him first, if not in the top five, and you're scrolling down, you're thinking, I've missed him. I'll have to control F this. And then there he is. I think he's about 173rd on strokes gained putting, which is astonishing. And obviously, that's kind of his superpower, really, isn't it? The putting. I mean, he does do lots of other things well, but that takes him to the next level. And without it, his results are just kind of good results rather than exceptional ones.
Yeah. He is the co-favourite at 10-1. Jordan Spieth there, along with Justin Rose and Ricky Fowler, all at 10s. Henrik Stenson is a man who's done well here in the past. He's priced up at 12-1.
Yeah, he could go well because arguably of those front five, well, definitely of those front five, he's probably the one who's probably thinking, am I really going to win the Masters?
Yeah.
He's had that many goes at it and he's never even had finished in the top 10. So there's got to be an element of thinking that's not my best chance of adding to my major tally. Whereas the others, Spieth's won it, Mickelson's won it, Rose has gone ever so close. Fowler's had chances where Stenson hasn't. So maybe Stenson could be the one I'll think, well, time to get a win here, to be honest. He's got the good form, but then he's, you look at the class around him and 12 just seems maybe a bit skinny.
Yeah, yeah. Some players in the field here are... having to win this tournament, having to win this tournament in order to get into the Masters. Ian Poulter, one of the most notable of those. He's currently 66-1.
Yeah, I mean, he had it all went a bit wrong last week. I think he won one of his matches and he was told, if you win this, you're through. And then he won it and then he was told, actually, we've had another look and you're not. So he teed off knowing that this sort of mountain he'd climbed, suddenly there was another bit on the horizon. So...
Strong metaphor game today, Dave Tindall.
Thank you very much. But you could argue Poulter loves kind of a gold, something to shoot at. But obviously last week was match play, which is his thing. But there's others as well. Lee Westwood needs to win here. Bill Haas needs to win here as well.
Realistically, do you see any of these players winning?
Not really, no. It's a nice angle, isn't it? But I think, and maybe someone will... pluck out an example of the time when a player had to win and he did, but then we tend to have selective memories and the thousand cases where they had to and didn't get brushed aside because it's not a good story. So yeah, I wouldn't be particularly drawn to those. You could argue it adds even more pressure. If they're in contention on the back nine, you know, it just adds another layer of pressure, which maybe they could do without.
They're probably at that point, their mental games are put to the test.
And they're thinking, and they're drifting off and thinking about Augusta because it's such a special place and they want to go back there, and then they're sort of forgetting at the immediate task in hand. So not for me. Not for me, the 11th hour gang.
If you were to look at someone at a slightly bigger prize, I mean, there's plenty of options here. Is there something at bigger odds that you would consider to be a player from an each way angle, perhaps in this tournament? If we look at the each way places, we are paying six places each way at a 50 odds.
Yeah, it's tricky. Some of them that I like, we're a little short on, but I think one I'm going to take a bit of a flyer on is Thomas Peters, just because he's a class act, and at his best, you know, that is a big price, 50-1. One of the things here is the course is set up in a way to be like Augusta National. It can never be Augusta National because it just isn't.
Because it physically
is
not.
Yes, it is not. But they'll try. They'll make the greens fast like Augusta. They'll make the rough down so you can sort of spray it a bit off the tee. They'll make the greens surrounded by sort of shaved runoff areas so you have to have a sharp short game. So there are some comparisons. So if you kind of backtrack from that, Thomas Peters on his Masters debut was, I think, fourth.
Yeah.
So if he can play well there, you could certainly argue that there's a good chance he could play well here. Sometimes players play well at a certain time of year as well, so maybe he's coming right. Now, his form isn't anything amazing, but there is some hope in there. He started off the year with a fifth place in Abu Dhabi, another part of the world where he's played well before. And the thing that maybe the one that gets me in, he was 13th at the Honda Classic, so he has played well in America this year. That was a tricky test, that one, 13th. Didn't do much in the match play, but as I've said, maybe that's a blessing in disguise. He can build on his preparations for the Masters. First timer at the course, so okay, that's possibly a negative, but you could argue, well, there's no bad stuff, he's got no bad memories or anything. So I just think it's a course, it's one way you can pull driver. It's 7,400 yards, there's not much rough to get you into trouble. He can blast it, and if he gets the putter going like we've seen him do at the Ryder Cup, for example, he could be a real challenger this week. So just as a kind of someone class act at a big price kind of angle, 50-1 Thomas Peters.
Is that the main selection?
Yes.
The main selection then.
I'll throw in one more for you.
He's throwing one in. Yes. You gave me a look like this is going to be some sort of cheeky, mysterious selection.
Not really. This has got obvious written all over it, I'm afraid. But,
okay.
But we're 25-1 on Russell Henley, the defending champion. Now, this course has got its own sort of quirks and its own kind of things, assets that people need to do well on, and it's not for everyone. A little bit Marmite, perhaps. So, but I think that does promote the idea of a course horse. I've said horse again. How many times have we said that? So those who've played it well before tend to keep playing it well, and Henley's probably the best example in this field. Is before he won it last year, he'd been fifth the year before, fourth the year before, seventh the year before that. So form was 7-4-5-1. Absolute course specialist this week. In terms of current form, 15th at Pebble, 24th at the Honda Classic, that's pretty good. Again, match play didn't go well for him, but at least he played three rounds. Just he sharpened up after a bit of a break since Mexico. So I'm very much playing the course angle there, and it'll just be half a point each way on him at 25s, but just gives us another one to cheer on. And it's one of those that if he won, you would go, well, how obvious was that?
Yeah, yeah.
So given the fact that I think you can put question marks over the market leaders because of the Masters being on the horizon, I think Henley could slip in again, and he's shown, obviously, that's exactly what he did last year.
You've mentioned the effect that they might have, that the Masters isn't far away, on those towards the head of the market. What if we sort of spin that angle and say one of these co-favourites, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, comes out and does win the Houston Open?
Yeah.
How much does that enhance their credentials for the Masters?
Yeah, well, someone like Spieth, if Spieth wins here whilst putting well, does he go favourite?
Mm.
He could well go favourite for the Masters, to be honest. What is he now, 12s? What have we got?
Currently George 1.
I argue that he would go joint favourite, maybe, with Rory. Because Spieth, I mean, either side of his win, Spieth's Augusta form is miles better than Rory's.
Yeah.
Rory's still got demons there because of what happened in 2011 when he blew a four-shot lead. But Spieth has gone there, second on debut, wins it the year after, second the year after. He is Mr. Augusta, really. That course is up his street. So the 12-1 hints that something's not quite right. Otherwise, he would be favourite, I think. So if he does win whilst putting well. So that's one thing you could do. If you fancy Jordan Spieth to win this week, back him to do that, but also maybe have a few quid on him for the Masters, because that will go, obviously, that 12s.
And there are plenty of markets available, not only for the Masters, also for the Houston Open, in terms of top 5, 10, 20 finishes, nationalities on the William Hill website.
There are, what, just as caught my eye, what are the hashtag your odds on the Masters?
Well, funny enough, I was just going to come to this. The Masters is a your odds event, so if there's something you'd like to bet on,
yeah,
which isn't you, Dave Tindall, or anyone listening, would like to bet on, and it's not priced up on site, tweet at William Hill, hashtag your odds, and we'll try and get a price on it for you. And there's a few already up on the site. For example, Tiger Woods to make the cut of the 2018 Masters is 6-1 on.
Yeah.
So 1-6. But some at a slightly bigger price. For example, you've got two or more holes in one in the 2018 Masters. That's 2-1. So you're seeing these for the first time, Dave Tindall. Is anything taking your eye there?
There's a few of those. It is a tournament where lots of the big names do gather at the front of the betting, and we've got a few. There's one there at 3-1. Casey, Woods, Mickelson, Rose and Thomas all to finish in the top 25. That could very, very easily happen. It's 3-1.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid of asking for some of these ones, a lot of classy players, to finish, because you go down Masters leaderboards from down the years and it's like they're all up there.
Yeah.
It is the best one to do that, because it's a smaller field than normal because it is invite only. You've got some of the field are the old guys coming around, like Sandy Lyle, Ian Woos, and I'm still having another crack at it because they're past winners. So it's a lot easier to get a high finish. So those would be the ones I looked at. This one below there, if you like Bubba and you think Tiger's going to go well, there's Bubba to win and Tiger to have a top 10, 22s. Just enhances your bet on Bubba a little bit. A hole in one at the 16th, Viney playing in the fourth round. That landed last year.
And it's 15-8 this year.
Seems to land most years because they put the flag in a little cup so it rolls down. I think Matt Kuchar did it last year, 15-8. What else have we got? If you think Tiger just will get there and it won't be right, he's 7-2 to miss the cut.
Yeah.
I've a feeling, though, that won't be that popular.
Would you rather take that than the sixes on that he makes the cut? Maybe a stupid question, but...
Nah, neither of those appeal,
neither,
to be honest.
Neither. Pass.
Maybe, here you are, listeners, why don't you ask for something like Tiger to be in, to maybe... Well, there will be match betting, but to beat somebody or to do something with, like, eagles, maybe score three eagles on the week or something like that. Because he does play those par fives very well. Yeah, I mean, we'll have all those markets, top 5, top 10, top 20. I think he will come around 8th, 10th, something like that.
You think he's looking at a top 10 finish?
Yeah, I think there's every chance he could get one on what we've seen. 2nd and 5th his last two starts, and he's got so many great finishes here. Maybe go top 5 as well, but just to win it just seems a little bit la-la fairyland to me.
Well, the world of the Masters really is your oyster this year with your odds of us here at William Hill. Hashtag your odds at William Hill. Any other suggestions Dave Tindall's just provided you with, or any of your own bets, and we'll try and get a price on that for you. Anything else to say, Dave, just to sum up the Houston Open and this sort of slightly further ahead, look at the Masters?
Yeah, just to reiterate those stakes then on the Houston Open, I'll go a point each way, Thomas Peters at 50-1, and just half a point each way, Russell Henley at 25-1. Obviously, we're betting him running all 4 days of the Houston Open, and if one of the big guns starts to play well, just and you're thinking, oh, I was going to do him for the Masters, just have your finger near the trigger, because the prices will go there. That's my bit of sage advice.
There we go. Sage advice from Dave Tindall to finish off this week's edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. As always, Dave Tindall, thanks very much for joining us.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.